In ballet, they say the first few moves determine the whole practice. Like, if the first few moves are well done, then the rest goes well. And if the first few moves are lazily done, then the rest is poorly done. So go right to your breath. Very strong, single-pointed, focused on your breath. And go to the golden room. Come to the blue sky, and I feel a good, everyone's feeling that feeling of contentment or satisfaction or surrender to where you are, and be happy, contented, stay in the sky, no need to go anywhere else. This is the best thing you can do to help all the people around you. Just stay in the sky. Right now, stay here where you are now, and that's the best service you can do for others. Then come to the mountains, look at the mountains across the valley, and sunlight on the valley. Come back to the golden room. Ask your teacher to come. You can place your head on their chest like a baby. Just feel the comfort of having your head on their chest. They're like embracing, holding you like a baby. Let that be your single focus. Like a child sleeping at her mother's breast. Feel comfort, protection, and stay there in that feeling. Don't feel any need to come back here or any other place. Stay there in that feeling of safety and care of your teacher. and slowly come back to this room. And you can open your eyes slowly. The concentration feels really, really good. Really, really good. I think it's the best group I ever meditated with, actually. Seriously. The previous record holder was the Wilcox 20 years to life prison. They're good. Really. Honestly, they're really good. They don't have anywhere else to go. Sorry, not Wilcox, Douglas. Right? But, that's like this, one of the sweetest meditations I've felt. You're doing really well. Okay. We got up to, we got up to things being a product of names, right? Names meaning, in this philosophy, names meaning the images produced in your mind by the seeds of how you've treated others in the past, right? So, Shen La Rangma Le Be Tsung Tu Ba Ching Ying Ge Ba Na, which means that things are not as... He says suktupa, okay? Suktupa is a very unusual word, and it means independent or self-standing. So Nick, for example, is not as concrete as we thought he was. He's more fluid, okay? Or whoever you are, Uta, whoever you are, it doesn't matter. You're not as fixed as you thought you were. You are as fluid as the seeds firing in your mind at any given moment, right? And then they will determine who you are and what you are. Even what life form you are, okay? So we're not as fixed or... It's not that you die as a human and then get born as a dog, right? It's that you're the same difference in the firing of the seeds that caused your last bite of dinner to go down could also turn you into a dog. It's that scary, okay? The seeds that went off to see you swallow are not much different than the seeds that would go off to see you as a dog for the next 15 years, you see? It's the same process, the same thing. It's just seeds firing, you see? And we have plenty of seeds to be a dog. All right. We're just lucky they haven't gone off yet. We are not so fixed or concrete. Sabin, Chu, Lu, Tru, Sher, Sok, Yukian, Duma, Tsopa, La, Deni. Due to the... what do you call it? Due to the confluence of many different factors and causes. For example, he says seed, water, fertilizer, heat, and moisture, right? I sort of object to that kind of language because he didn't put projection. That seed he's talking about is like a corn seed or something. So I think it's sort of dangerous to present dependent origination as just seeds and factors, you see? You got to throw in at least one karmic seed ripening, because otherwise it's just conventional things. It's not going to change how you lead your life. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, por la tene,
kewe shena ra lepe tudu yimbar rang re ngunsen to tupe na tenjung yin.
So dependent origination means that things are tudu. Those of you know about Tibetan or want to learn Tibetan, tenjung means occurs in reliance. Tudu means happens in dependence. You see, there are synonyms. Tudu and tenjung are synonyms. Sometimes tudu is given as a sort of a definition of tenjung. So what they translate as dependent origination can be described as happening in reliance. Okay? Tudu yimbar rangre ngunsa tudu pe na tenjung yin na. You can see this going on all around you, that things depend on their causes. But just to pause here, we misidentify the connection between the result and the cause. For example, with the aspirin. You see, we draw an artificial link between the headache going away and the presence of sumatriptan in the pill. You see what I mean? We draw a false link of causation. We believe that the headache goes away because of some chemical in the pill. You see? And they're not related. The headache hasn't gone away because of the presence of some chemical in the pill. Because if that were the case, then every time you took that pill, your headache would go away. So it's not that. We constantly draw false connections between what's happening to us or why a car goes. You draw a connection between the presence of gasoline and the car running, and there's no such connection. Okay, so we are constantly misunderstanding dependent origination. We're constantly drawing false links. Just, you know, as a little hint from planet B to planet A, if the same causes are present and the same effect doesn't happen, then that ain't the cause. Right? Okay. You keep taking an aspirin and your headache doesn't go right in. Okay. It's kind of funny, right? Okay. Dende tenjung gi rigpa dende tenjung gi rigpa am jitsen de kanang mita patsu tupa rangshin gi dupe ta gapa ni. Okay, now we get into the two tas, okay? Ta means my Tibetan Lama's name was Ken Rinpoche Geshe Losan Tarchin, right? Senme Ken Rinpoche Harpa Geshe Losan Tarchin, right? And Tarchin, his name, means gone to the limit, okay? So the edge of this platform is called Ta. So Ta means an edge. It can also mean a cliff, okay? And then Tarchin, his name was gone to the limit, gone to the end of enlightenment, right? Tarchin. So now we're going to start talking about Ta in the sense of an extreme, okay, that you could fall into. And again, a good example would be when we got here, we didn't drive. We followed Google. What do you call it? GPS thing. GPS thing, you know, said take four turns off of the last road there, which were all icebound. And we got through two of them. Then we got into this weird thing where we couldn't go forward without sliding off the road, and we couldn't get up back either. So we just had to stop. And then cars started to pile up in front of us and behind us, and they were quite irritating. And, you know, anyway. And then that guy came out and said, I'll drive your car down for you. And I'm like, he says, don't worry, there's a ditch on either side, and they're big. But you can't see them because of the snow. And I'm like,
this is supposed to comfort me, you know? And I could just see him like going off the road and amputating his leg, and I'm paying insurance things the rest of my life. I'm like, let's just stay here until the tow truck comes, you know? So that's it, ta. The two ditches are ta. Ta means you don't want to slide off into either cliff, okay? You don't want to fall off either cliff. What are the two cliffs? And this gets into one of the most beautiful statements in all of Buddhist scripture, okay? And it's Jetsu Kapa who did it, but there's a few opening acts, okay? Tinde tenjung gi rigpa am gyu tsen pe kana ma te pa tsu tu pa rangshin gi dupe ta gapa ni. We are seeking to deny the extreme that something could be existing in an independent or natural way. Mm-hmm. Which would imply that it existed without depending on any other thing. Now you know when I say that, meaning it existed without depending on your seeds firing, some seeds going on, okay? That's tenjung gi rigpa am gyu tsen. That's what it means to use dependent origination as a reason or a justification that things are empty, okay? That they are coming from your seeds. Okay. Nawa yota sel shin tenjung tombe toksu shar shepa deyin. And that's why in scripture we see those famous lines. Nawa yota sel. Say in your head. Nawa. That's a big head. Nawa yota sel. Okay, yota means the extreme of thinking things exist. Okay? The extreme of thinking things exist. And it's one of the two ditches in life. Okay? That you don't want to slide into that. You don't want to think things exist. Does that mean Nick doesn't exist? No. What would it be to fall into the extreme of thinking that Nick exists? It would be to think that Nick was out there and that the way I see him is not coming from my own seeds, okay? And Nick, who existed without coming from my own seeds, is the extreme of a Nick who exists, okay? So you have to add the extra words. The extreme of Nick existing independent of the seeds in my own mind, okay? That's called the extreme of thinking that things exist. Does Nick exist? Yes. Can Nick shave? We're not sure. We don't have any evidence either way. He can look in the mirror and he can, you know, let's say brush his teeth, okay? He can. That's okay. There's a Nick there. He is brushing his teeth, okay? To think there's a Nick in the mirror and you're brushing his teeth is not the extreme of thinking things exist. The extreme of thinking things exist would be to look in the mirror and say, what you see is not coming from how you treat others. Okay? And the relative pleasantness of what you see is not specifically related to your ability to hold your temper. Okay, because that's the source of beauty. That's the karmic seed for beauty, is the ability to hold your temper and not get upset or angry. If you want to make your face age fast, or if conversely you want to save a lot of money on makeup, just be patient with people. Don't get angry easily. All right. So we can say that nangwe yuta selwa. It's very famous language in the emptiness teachings. Nangwe yuta selwa. The appearance the appearance of things. The appearance of things prevents us from falling into the ditch of saying things exist. The appearance of things prevents us from falling into the ditch of saying things exist. So you now know that the appearance of things must here mean understanding that what appears around you is coming from seeds in your own mind, which were planted by how good you were to others, okay? And understanding that what appears around you is coming from how you treat others, which in the scripture is called appearance, prevents you from believing in the Nick that was never there. That was the Nick who didn't deserve to be criticized, okay? Okay. So Nanwa Yetasa, very famous. The appearance of things understood correctly prevents us from believing in the Nick who was never there. All right? The extreme of thinking things exist, meaning a Nick who isn't there. Okay. Shing Tenjung Tongbe Doksu Sharwa. Which is to say, he says, if you understand that the fact that things come from other things, if you understand that things come from other things, can you come to a realization that understanding that things come from other things is the friend of emptiness? Okay. It's the screen and the projector thing we talked about. Yeah. They are different sides of the same coin. Okay? They are different sides of the same coin. You look at the coin from one side, it's the blank screen. You look at the coin from the other side, it's the fact that your seeds are projecting where everything you see. And together they explain the existence of all things. Okay? And if you understand how things are coming from your seeds, okay, you won't fall into the trap of thinking that things exist the way you always thought they did. Cars run from gas. Work results in money. Negotiating with your boyfriend makes him reasonable. No, they're all the same. Taking more pills will remove your headache, you know, like things like that. Okay. If something like a sprout coming up out of the ground, right, that first little sprout of a flower, it was really exciting. And in the whole next 8 months, there were wildflowers all over the front of my house, everywhere. And they went off at different times of the season. There's still some going off in the middle of winter. But, you know, we planted them in a bare ground, and then the excitement of the first, not even open leaf, just it came up, it comes up half, and then it opens like that, and it was about this big. So the Nyuguru Shingi Dumna, if that sprout existed in itself, right? Remember in? When you get tired of Madhyamika language, just say in. Okay. I think it's very powerful. It's extremely... Normally the shorter is more powerful, right? Miles Davis said... less is more. Miles Davis said less is more. So it's that way with Madhyamika also. So... if the sprout were in the sprout, or if the sprout were coming from the sprout, then nothing could change the sprout, okay? Because nothing would be acting on the sprout. The sprout would be acting on itself. You see, if a sprout were in the sprout, it would be independent of all other conditions affecting it, okay? If the sprout is coming from seeds in your mind, you know, if the sprout is coming from how you treat other people, then you can change the sprout, and then a sprout can change, because it's depending on other factors. If it were self-contained, it would always be the same. Okay? If it were self-contained, it would never change. It would never open. The two little leaves would never split. And then you'd never have a flower 6 months later. It's just not possible. If it were self-contained. If it were relying on something outside of it, meaning your seeds in your mind, then all things are possible. Then a seed can grow. Then a sprout can grow. Then you can have flowers in 6 months, because they are not coming from the sprout. They are coming from shifts in the seeds in your mind. What caused the wild flowers to flower in my garden throughout the summer and fall, and a few are still going off, okay, is nothing to do with the seeds or the sprout under the ground. These are moment-to-moment ripenings of seeds in my own mind. And that's the only way it could be. If it existed in the sprout, if the sprout were in the sprout, it would always be a sprout. It would never change to a flower. Okay? Couldn't. It would always be a sprout. It would be stuck being a sprout if it existed the way you always felt it did. All right? Here we go. Nyuku rangshin le shendimin gyur shik gunayan. Gunayan rangshin ki ma drupa yinbe. So if the sprout were itself, and only itself, it were, if it were self-contained, then it couldn't change. Rangshinki ma drupa yinbe. But because it doesn't have its own nature, okay? That's a difficult expression, okay? Get used to it. Rangshinki ma drupa means swabhava, right? Swabhavena. Does it exist through some nature of its own? Or does it have a nature of its own? So what do you mean when you say that, Geshe-la? What do you mean when you say something has a nature of its own? Well, pick something that you can quickly identify its nature. What's the nature of a fire? It's hot. Okay? The nature of fire, basic nature of fire is that it's hot. In Buddhism, it's called sashin sekpa. Meiteni. The definition of fire is that which is hot and burning. So let's stick to hot, okay? The hotness of fire doesn't come from the fire. Okay? The hotness of fire doesn't come from the fire. How hot fire feels to you is coming from you, okay? How hot, even so basic a thing as the very characteristic which defines a fire is not natural to the fire. It's coming from you. Which it means that someone could touch fire or put their hand in fire if they had special seeds and it wouldn't feel hot to them. So you know these pujaris in India there. They just pick up coals and you're like, you know, and they pick up all the fire. It's considered an important skill for a pujari. I don't know what they do with all the kids who can't pick up fire. They probably get fired or something. Really, every good pujari, like in Kashi, in Varanasi, they just pick up the coals and then they blow on them and then they put them back. And you're like, you can't even bear to watch them do it, you know. But it means that they're not feeling the fire in the same way I would. For whatever reason, maybe they got calluses, I don't know. But that means the fire is not as hot to them. Okay? So even the characteristic which defines that object is not inherent to it. Okay? Fire is not, heat is not in fire. I like that in, we gotta go for that. Okay? Heat is not in the fire. The capacity to take away your headache is not in the aspirin. There's nothing inherent in anything. Therefore, because the sprout doesn't have a quality of being a sprout in it, it can change its... Nekup means, here it means it's circumstances. The circumstances of the sprout can change. How? It can slowly evolve eventually into hay or straw. So they're just giving an extreme. You start with a sprout, it becomes grass, it becomes older grass, it becomes grass which has died, and then that grass is scythed and brought into the barn and dried and becomes straw. Okay, so all the way from seed to straw, each change that it can go through must be coming from your mind, because if it were a sprout in a sprout, it would never stop being a sprout. Okay? It couldn't change because it's a sprout and it's not straw. Okay? That came later. So it must be coming from your mind. Tarsan, Nekipar, all the way up to, in Tibet, barley was important. Okay? So they say also barley. Okay? The two most important things, you know, hay to feed your yak and barley to eat yourself. Nekipar, Nekab Shendu, Rimki, Girne. Things evolve, things change. Midan, Dundo, Long Chepipar. And then even up to the fact that animals or humans can eat them. Chachekin Namjat Tamche, all those phases or seasons of objects, especially crops, for example, they're all tepa. Tepa means it's cool, it works, it happens, you know, it operates. If the sprout were the way, if it existed the way you always thought it did, then it would always be a sprout. If it was coming from itself, it would always be itself. And then it would be a sprout forever. See, if it's coming from you and from seeds firing in your mind, and if the seeds fire in a different order, or one seed fires and then wears out and then another seed replaces it and fires, then you can perceive the sprout growing into a stalk and then giving leaves and then giving flowers and then drying out and then people, what do you call it? Winnowing that stuff. And then people eating it, okay? Then, Jajay Namshat Tamche, it's all okay. Tenjung na ngepa temba ni tombe metasa. So now we have the other half of the equation. Before we had Nangwe Yutasa. Now we have tombe metasa. Very famous. Yuta again means the extreme of thinking that things existed the way you thought they did. You know, you thought a sprout had some kind of magical power in it, which allowed it to transform into a stem, which allowed it to transform into a leaf, and which allowed it to transform into a fruit. But some sprouts die, and they never become fruit or grain. Okay? Why? And then a scientist wants to say it didn't have the right heat, or there wasn't enough rain, or, you know, it didn't have the right DNA or anything like that. But that also is coming from you. Okay? In the end, you have to explore why did this crop fail from lack of rain, and the other crop didn't fail from lack of rain. See, even if you say it was the rain, well, who caused the rain? Why did rain fall there and not there? Oh, there was a wind. Or there was, you know, and then scientists are just chasing their tails, you know. Oh, there was a wind. Duh. You know, why did the wind come up? Oh, the sun shone on that part of the ocean and didn't shine on the land. Why? Because light came from the sun and didn't hit the water and hit the land. Why? How does light come from the sun? We talked about it in yoga class the other day. You know, there's no quantum physics has proven that it's impossible. It's not possible for light to be coming from the sun. Light behaves in two contradictory ways, according to where the observer is positioned. Could be either particles moving in a straight line, are ripples moving out like that and canceling each other in a distinctive pattern that's only possible for ripples. So at the same time it's rippling, at the same time it's shooting in a straight line, which is not possible. Okay? Depending on where the observer is located. Okay? So don't tell me it was the sun, the light from the sun hit the ocean, which caused the wind, which caused the cloud, which caused the rain, which caused your crop to fail. You're just giving me an endless chain of things that don't explain the thing before it. Okay? All right? Okay. And then when you get down to the primary cause of how matter itself moves, you can't explain it. And then you tell me it can't be what it is. You know, you chase your tail back to the point where you can't explain it anymore. You know. Okay. Okay, so Tongbei Meta Cell. Okay, very famous. If one extreme is to think that Nick existed the way we thought he did, which was, if Nick seems irritable, it has nothing to do with me. Right? If Nick seems irritable, it has nothing to do with me. That's how you used to think he existed. To believe he could be irritable and it has nothing to do with you is the extreme of thinking he exists. Okay? That's what it means to say the extreme of thinking he exists. A Nick who could be irritable without my having been irritable in the past is a non-possibility. There's no such thing. That's the extreme of thinking Nick exists. So what's the opposite? What's metta? What's the extreme of thinking Nick doesn't exist? Okay. Statistically, the people who fall into Nick exists versus the people who fall into Nick doesn't exist are about 999,999,999 over here to one over here. Okay? Why? This extreme means you went to a bad teaching about emptiness. And they said Nick's not what you thought he was. And then you decide Nick doesn't exist. Then if Nick who's irritable from his own side can't exist, then Nick can't exist. There's no such thing as Nick. Everything's an illusion. I can cheat him. I can lie to him. I can steal from him. It doesn't really matter, does it? Lama Ora, I think the baby was noisy tonight or something. Anyway, she told me this cute story. Her mother was the disciple of one famous rabbi. I don't remember his name. But he was a very charismatic teacher and she became his disciple. And then, you know, the usual jealousy trips were going on between the leading disciples. And then, which I was very guilty of. I had a 20-year jealousy trip. The only reason it's not going on now is I'm in a different state. But you know, there was, I forget what it was. Oh yeah. So they were having a big dinner and all the close disciples were cooking. And then her mother came out, I don't know, with a tray of potatoes in a glass Tupperware thing. And then she slipped and dropped it, you know. And then there was a big crash and the potatoes went all over the floor. And then the other leading disciple who was jealous of her said, ha ha ha, karma, you know. And then the guru came down the stairs and walked over to that lady and stamped on her foot and said, ha ha ha, karma. Why did I bring that up? lots of people fall into this one. Nick, the Nick as I see him is the one that's really there. Okay? And it cannot be coming from my mind. Because I've never been that irritable. You're right. The seed is always smaller than the result, okay? You can always comfort yourself in every misery you encounter and every bad thing that someone does to you. You can always comfort yourself that whatever you did was less, okay? That doesn't really help, though. So if someone says, Nick is not the way you thought, Nick is just in your mind, right? Then the other extreme is to say, well, then it doesn't matter what I do with Nick. I can do anything I want with Nick because he's just a mental apparition. He's an apparition of my mind. Now I can treat him any way I want. It's just karma. Okay? I think that's why I brought that up. It's just karma. It's just an apparition. See? So that would be the other extreme. So this extreme is relatively much less common than the other one. This one is we call kuntat as opposed to lhenge. Lhenge means inborn mistake. Yutta is mostly an inborn mistake. Most people have it when they're born. Then metta is a learned mistake. It's a result of bad learning. It's an acquired taste. Okay? It's an acquired taste. So then he says here, Tongbe met Nangwe Yutasa, right? The belief that Nick exists the way you thought he did is removed by understanding how he's coming from your seat. The belief that Nick has no existence at all is removed by the understanding of emptiness. And that's very subtle, and you got to think about it, okay? It would seem that the belief in emptiness would thrust you into believing nothing exists. And it would seem that an understanding of how things are coming from your seeds would thrust you into a belief about how things exist. But it is rather the opposite. And you have to chew on that. And I'm not going to give it to you. Okay? You have to chew on that. Okay? Why would an understanding that things are coming from seeds remove your belief that things exist? And why would an understanding that things are empty remove your belief that things don't exist? Because the opposite would seem the case. Okay. And you have to chew on that. You have to think about it. Okay? It took me a long time. I remember. Okay. Metta selshim tomba tenjin dushawa. Emptiness will express itself as projection to a well-educated mind. Okay. Yin. Dundi dadla gong ne ma drupe shube dole kyang. So there's a sutra. Sutras are usually named after the person who brought up a question. Okay. Paripurcha, means who asked the question. And then they're named after the person who asked the question. So there's a Naga king named Madrupa, which means it's a reference to the lake that he lives in, and it's never warm. Madrupa. So anyway, this Naga king asked Lord Buddha a question. And then in that sutra, the following lines come. When you're reading a quotation, okay, just for you Tibetan freaks, then you give it this little flourish with the tone of your voice at the end. Kangi toni shede ba yu yin. And that means a quote is ending. Okay? Or you can say ba yu yin, which means ba yu yin ser. Okay? So ba yu yin. So anyway, if you hear a lama being translated, and then they'll say something like, dele kwa kewe rashi yu ma yin su. And it means he said. It means you're supposed to translate the Lama said. Okay? So if it irritates you, you know where it's coming from. Kashi Kime Kewa Dimake. Anything that has been born from causes was never born. De la Kewa Rangshin Yomayin. It has no nature of being born. Kien la Ragle Kang de Tomar She. What does emptiness mean? Emptiness means that the thing came from its causes. That's beautiful. See, that's the point he's trying to get us to. The point where you get confused about the two sides of the coin. Somebody comes up to you and says, what is emptiness? You say, it's things that are coming from the seeds in your mind. Is that true? No. Emptiness is an absence of something. But it means you understand emptiness so well that when somebody asks you what emptiness is, you go straight to dependent origination. What's emptiness, Geshe Michael? The pen's coming from you. Okay? Kangitoni she de bayo yin. Anyone who grasps emptiness this deeply is bayo. That now we're going to get onto another subject, okay? We're going to get onto a whole new subject, okay? We got time for this? Yeah. Bhakya is an expression that means to be careful. Okay, bhakya means to be careful. It derives from an old word, bhagma. Bhagma means a newly wedded bride. Okay, bhagma means a newly wedded woman. So, you know, in Tibet, in ancient times, there was this whole ritual, you know, you would decide to get married to a girl, and or the parents would decide, and then you would, she would have to move from her family to her husband's family, to their yurt or to their, I mean, that's what it was. And then there was this whole procession thing where the man's brothers would get on horses and go get the lady and bring her back and install her in the house, you know, where she became the slave of his mother forever until the mother passed away from natural, hopefully natural causes. Okay. So that was the system. And she just became the slave of the family. She was lower than everybody, and she had to do everybody's dirty work. And she wasn't supposed to talk. You know, she's just supposed to do what she's told to do. And so bhagma, to be a newly wedded bride, became the word you used to describe someone who was like, I don't know, wasn't allowed to talk. Or, you know, or was timid. It became a word for timid. Okay? And then it became a word for extremely mindful. Like, never say anything in front of the mother-in-law. Okay, so bhagya later came to mean careful. And then later in Madhyamika, it came to mean aware of what's really going on. You know, like, quietly observant of what's really going on. So bhagya came to mean wise, you know, like quietly observant of what's going on. So what the scripture is saying, whoever understands that emptiness expresses itself as the seeds in your mind, that person has the capacity to act properly. Okay, so now bhagya has come to mean they're careful about what they do. They're careful about what they do. Get this, okay? I'll tell you the punchline and then we'll go through the joke, okay? If you've gotten a correct teaching on emptiness, what does your attitude about collecting karma become? You know, how's your belief in seeds? Is it strengthened or is it weakened? I mean, the fact of emptiness justifies the theory of cease. You see, I mean, you, a person who really understands emptiness becomes seed anal. Okay? No, then they're like keeping a book. They say, six times, forget it. I'm doing 12 times. You know? Okay? Okay? I want a 12-time book or a 36-time book. You know? Let's get serious here. Everything's coming from my seeds. You know? Everything's coming from my seeds. You know? And then the greater your understanding of emptiness, the greater your interest in ethical living. And the greater your interest in being kind to others and taking care of others. How a person acts from hour to hour is a direct reflection of how well they understand emptiness. If they are being unkind to others, demanding, lying, hurting others, abrupt with others, unkind, undiplomatic, anything, any kind of negative behavior, even the slightest towards another person, that person doesn't understand emptiness. Or they may understand it and not be aware of it. The greater your understanding of emptiness, the kinder, more graceful, more considerate, more neat, more everything you become. Okay, and they're just a direct correlation. You could tell if a sage understands emptiness from how they treat other people. If there's any kind of roughness or impoliteness or any kind of misbehavior, then they don't understand emptiness, okay? And you don't hear that very often. It's only the really great masters who really grasp emptiness that they become seed freaks. You know, they're like all concerned about, you know, what kind of seed is it going to make if I blow my nose too loud and it bothers the person next to me? What kind of seed does that make, Geshe-Michael? What kind of karmic result does that have? You know, no, they become obsessed by not disturbing others in the slightest way. A person who understands seeds gets up in the cabin and tiptoes to the bathroom and turns the knob slowly, you know? No, I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. And they open it as silent as a cat. And then they go in. If you're a boy, you sit down to pee. I'm not kidding. Because it might disturb someone. And you don't want that seed. You just don't want that seed, you know? And so a person who really understands emptiness becomes bakyo about karma. They become like a newlywed bride. They're afraid to do anything wrong. You know, they're like totally sensitive to how their actions are going to, what do you call it, impinge on others. Totally, totally sensitive all the time. So basically, they're moving to the world in this graceful dance. This graceful, kind, considerate dance. I think the big word that would describe a person who understood emptiness well would be considerate. They would be highly considerate of others all the time. Okay? And that's a barometer of your emptiness understanding. Okay? Tomboshe, karma shitongishe, anybody who understands emptiness, bagyuyin, they are bagyu, okay? They are considerate to others. Okay. Tsashele, kang chir tenjung mayin pe, chuga yopa mayin no, dechir tomba mayin pe, chuga yopa mayin no. And then Nagarjuna, Arya Nagarjuna said the same thing in his scripture, the root text on wisdom, mula pragna. He said, Kangshir Denjung Mayimpe, Chuga Yepa Mayina. If it's the case that there's nothing in the world which is not coming from your seeds, then Dechitamba Mayimpe, Chuga Yepa Mayino. If it's the case that there's nothing in the world that's not coming from your seeds, then it's also the case that there's nothing in the world which is not emptiness. That's an overstatement, okay? That's an exaggeration, but he's trying to make a point, okay? I'll say it again. If it's the case that there's nothing in the world that's not coming from seeds, then it's the case that there's nothing in the world that's not emptiness itself. So what they're trying to do is get you to draw a close connection between emptiness and karmic seeds. Like, you gotta start thinking of them as flip sides of the same coin. And you just can't think of one without the other. Okay? Seeds don't mean nothing if there's no place for them to project. Emptiness don't mean nothing if there's no seeds to project onto it. Okay? Chandrakirti also said, Master Chandrakirti also said in his Madhyamaka avatar, Kangjin Lopo Tene Rabjun Wei Topa Dida Tapa Minupa Techir Tenjin Ripa Dini Tangin Dawa Tada Chupa Che Che Dang Kangjin Lopo Tene Rabjun Wei. All things that do anything are coming from certain causes, such as your behavior towards others. The seeds created by your behavior towards others. Tung Jung Wei. Topa Dida Takpar Minu Pa. The dream images that you believed in the past are indefensible. The Nick that is irritable, not because you've been irritable, is indefensible. There's no way to defend that idea. Okay? Therefore, the simple reasoning which says that all things are coming from your karmic seeds, it cuts all the tawa means nets, like the kind of nets you use to catch birds or something. You know these, what do you call it, twine? In China, there are special nets, and then you throw them up in the air and you catch birds. I went through a forest in a place called Umeshan. It's a 20-mile walk down the cliffs. It takes 2 days, and your knees don't work again forever. I didn't see a single life form. I didn't see a bird. I didn't see a lizard. I didn't see a squirrel. It was a normal forest. It was a jungle. And I didn't see a single moving thing because they use these nets and they eat everything and they catch everything, flying, crawling, anything, swimming. After thousands of years, there's no, I don't know who eats the leaves and stuff. I don't know. I didn't see anything. I didn't see a living thing. So tawa means a jvala sometimes in Sanskrit, a net. Okay, so if you understand how emptiness appears as projections, you can cut the nets which entrap you. Okay, two more minutes. Chepache. Okay, we got to the quotation by Justin Kapo. I could answer questions or I could do that. I'd rather if someone had a heart attack tonight that you heard this. Okay. Very, 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 very beautiful. Maybe the most beautiful words in all of Scripture, I think. And it took me a lifetime to understand them. Okay? It's very, very beautiful. Namshik renjo mebar chikchar du tenda miller tongwa tsamine neshe yuki zindang kunjigna desay tawa jepa zopa lak shenyang Nangwe yuta sawa dung, dombi meta selshin, dombini gyunandeva chawe tsushin na tarjan tawe chokpa mingyuro. Very, very famous. I think it's the Lamsa Namsung, the three principal paths. So here we go. This is how Jetsun Karpa summarized all these points. And I think it's the greatest summary ever written. Okay, here we go. Namshik renjo mepar chikchatu. At some point in your spiritual career, the idea that nothing has any nature of its own and the idea that whatever you see in things is coming from your mind will stop alternating. Okay? Like we have trouble holding our minds on both ideas at the same time. Either I understand that Nick's not coming from himself or I understand that he's coming from the seeds in my mind. But those understandings alternate in a normal person. You can think for a while how there's a Nick that wasn't really there, which is emptiness, right? And then you can think how the Nick you do see is coming from you. But somehow you can't hold both those ideas at the same time. They kind of have to toggle. Then he says, Namshi Renjo Mepa Chikchadu. At some point, the toggling will stop.
At some point, the toggling will stop.
Tendel milor tongwat sami nengeshi yuk jindang kunjikpa. Just by understanding how Nick is coming from the seeds in your mind, neshe yuk jindang kunjikna, the way you used to look at him in the past will be destroyed.
Okay?
The way you used to see him in the past. What's the way you used to see him in the past? When Nick was irritable, it was because of him and not because of me. Okay? And that's the cause of all your suffering. You blame it on the other person, right? Kunjigna, nyeshi yuki jindan kunjigna. Once you understand milur, wasada milur, right? Milur. Without fail, without exception, that he's always coming from you. Okay? Always. Nyeshi yuki jindan kunjigna. That will destroy the way you used to look at me. They say tawe chepa zobalang. When you reach that point, the development of your worldview is complete. The development of your worldview is complete. Okay? He's not what I thought he was. That's the white screen. But rather, he's coming from how I treat other people. That's the projection of a Nick. Okay? And when they become one thing, and you no longer toggle between those two understandings, your worldview is perfect. You can rest. You got it right. That's a pretty big deal, right? Shenyang. Now here's the clincher. Moreover, Nangwei Yuta Sawadang. Understanding how he really came to be will eliminate your tendency to think he exists. I told you, you had to figure that out. That's not my problem. It should have been the opposite. It should have been the opposite, okay? Understanding how he's my projection should have prevented me from thinking he doesn't exist, but that's not how it goes. Understanding that he's my projection prevents me from thinking he does exist. You have to chew on that, okay? Prachara, you have to cook it. Tongbe meta self. And the understanding that he's not who I thought he was will prevent you from thinking he doesn't exist. And it should have been the opposite. In, you know, it's a core. You have to think about it. Struggle with it, okay? The understanding that he's empty of being who I thought he was will prevent me from thinking he's nobody. Okay? It's difficult. Tombini, gyudan deber charwe tsushina. Tombini, gyudan deber charwe tsushina. If you finally grasp how emptiness expresses itself as things causing other things, whoa. Okay? If you understand how emptiness expresses itself as certain things causing other things, specifically your seeds causing things, right? If you understand how emptiness expresses itself that way, Tanjin Tawe Topar Mingyurwo, you will never, your view will never be stolen away. Your correct view will never be lost. You will never have your correct view purloined. That's not so good. Your correct view of the world will never be stolen away, okay? You'll never be robbed of your correct view. And you will, Tanjin Tawa means you will never fall into those two extremes, okay? So you got to go over that. You got to chew on that. Okay. You got to think about that. If you want to look it up in the English, it would be page 374B. Right there is where the quote breaks, okay? I'm not sure how the person I'm jealous of had translated it, but I'm sure it's okay. Alright. Deta tondam tenji ni kyame chik dosu chik dowe tsungi pa ni na. Gyunde so chache tende la ngeshe tan. Sijok cheru songne. Okay, this is where it gets into the point we were talking about. Detar tondan tenjo nigyame, a person who understands that emptiness and the way their world is projected by their seeds are actually not only not contradictory, but they are necessary sides of the same coin. They complement each other. The fact that things are not what you thought, and the fact that they are coming from your seeds, are not only not contradictory, they complement each other. Okay? Doksu chikcha du do, chik do itso. At some point, you'll see that there's a union of those two, and they become one thing. Like the blank screen and the movie projected onto it, which is not difficult to imagine, right? As one single unit. The projected image and the white screen, creating a movie. Okay? One thing. So, ngepa nyina, if you can get to that point, gyunde sok chaje tendela ngeshe dan, then you will gain a faith in the process of cause and effect, meaning the fact that things are coming from the seeds in your mind. Okay? The process of cause and effect. I don't care that seeds make watermelons. That's not what cause and effect's talking about. It's a form of cause and effect. It's not the one we're talking about. We're talking about you're mean to somebody and then people seem mean to you. Okay? All right? Very simple. Sijok Cherusong. Okay, that's the one I wanted to get to before 9:30 and I did it. Sijok Cherusong. Sijok means, I want to say it right. Let me think. Your life will... You will lay a greater importance than ever on ethical behavior. You will lay a greater importance than ever on ethical behavior if you understand emptiness. The more you understand emptiness, the more ethical you have to be, because you're making, because that's the projector. Okay? Sijok cherusong. Ethical, I mean morality, okay? It's just don't bug other people. Don't impinge on other people. You know? Be considerate. Put yourself in their place and don't do anything you wouldn't want them to do to you. Okay. Cherusongne. Dikpong gedup chi. Generally speaking, you'll become more interested in not doing things that hurt other people, and you'll get more interested in doing things which help them. Gedu cham ningje chanchu kisam lapcha dan chepa lagmen la dep kangtu chepa, and you will get more interested in following the teachings and perfecting the teachings on how to develop compassion, how to develop love, how to develop bodhicitta, and the related vows. Okay? The vows, the bodhisattva vows. You'll get much more interested in this. If you what? Understand emptiness. The more you understand emptiness, the more interest you'll take in your bodhisattva vows. Okay? Laklan dabat tukjebe tapshe yama tawe nyamnan na tsumba shi ong. Tapshe yama dala. Tapshe means what? Tapshe can mean skillful means. Okay, you could misread this as skillful means. Tapshe. You could read it as meaning to know the way, to know the method. Tapshe, tapke. You could read it as skillful means. That would be wrong. Okay, here tapshe means tapdangshiro. Tapdangshiro. Okay, what's tap? The first 3.5 perfections. What's shiram? The second 2.5 perfections. Okay. There are 6 perfections. The first 3 or the first 4, or I like to say the first 3.5, relate to what you do. And the last 2.5 relate to how you understand what you do. For example, if you give... This is very typical. In a DCI presentation, we'll be overseas. We'll get up in front of a big crowd of businessmen. Sun Island, okay? We were at Sun Island. You were there? Yeah.
So it's just like corporate resort, and they do corporate retreats, and they had the whole corporate staff there. They were tough. They started out like this, you know. I think the corporate staff was required to go, which is always bad. And so here's this cuckoo American guy talking about, you know, that if you give away your money, you'll make more money in America, you know. And then naturally, when you take off on that tangent, you will get more money if you help others with your money more. Then, of course, the objection arises in any normal person's mind. Well, I've seen lots of people give away money and they're all broke. They're broke as a result of giving away money, you know. Or I've seen people be generous and people just took advantage of them, you know. So what about that? They should be rich, you know. So then that's tap without shiram. They did the right thing, but they didn't understand what they were doing. Okay? And that means Yamadawa means, Yamadawa in the second line here means they cannot be divorced from each other. Yatawa means divorce. Yamadawa means they cannot be divorced from each other. What? You can't do good deeds without understanding what's going on. Otherwise they don't work so good. They will work extremely slowly, and they'll work to a very small extent. You will get an extra 25 cents just before you die. Okay? And you won't even connect it to what you did 30 years before. Okay? The irony of uninformed generosity is that the result comes so late that you can't relate it to what you did to get it. You see, you don't remember the kindness you paid to get the result now because it was so poorly executed that the time gap was huge. And then you don't draw a connection between getting the extra 25 cents and having been generous in the past. Okay? So what's more ideal is that someone understands the mechanics of giving. And then it will come fast. So then, you know, in an extreme case, and we've seen it, you know, in our little personal lives, we'll sweat over a decision to take a loss on a talk or something, or like this retreat. You know, we'll sweat over a decision to take a loss on the retreat, you know, and not even mention it to people, just we'll take the loss, you know. We'll all empty our bank accounts, we'll all load up our credit cards, and we'll just take the loss and we won't tell anybody. And then we sweat over that kind of thing because it happens about every other day. And then, you know, at 7 o'clock we'll have an epiphany and we'll say, okay, let's just take... It happened in Guangzhou big time. We were going to lose $50,000 or something. And then we said, what the hell? Let's just let everybody come to the retreat, you know? Lose money. So, you know, we decide... We'll take the loss. We're in Guangzhou, we decide we'll take the loss. And we take the loss and we get on the plane and we have to stop in Taipei on the way home. Somebody says, can I have a meeting with you in the airport on the way home? And we're like, come on, I mean, we've been on the road a month, you know? It's 4 a.m. for us in the morning, you know? And you want us to have a meeting in the airport with you? And they said, please, please, you know? And we're like, okay. So we land in the airport. We meet these people, like we're like laying on the table like that, and they're all perky, and then they hand us the money that we lost a few hours before. They just hand it to us. They say, you know, do you need $30,000? You know, and we're like, not in an extreme example. If you understand karmic seeds well. If you have shiram to go with tap, if you have wisdom to go with method, if you have knowledge to accompany your good deeds, then the results are very fast. Then the results are very, very fast. Okay? So he's saying here, never let them be divorced from each other. Okay? Never practice them, exert yourself in practicing them together. Okay? Meaning, understand the emptiness of what you're doing, and it will work faster. That's all. Okay. He's saying people who understand emptiness are not only more considerate and more moral, but also stuff happens faster for them. Okay? They do everything with the knowledge of where things are really coming from. And then stuff works for them. Okay? And they have weird... The night we started ACI Phoenix, a $150,000 check came in the mail. The night we started the first program. You know, we didn't have any money for the program in Phoenix. We didn't have any money. We just did it, you know. And then the check came that night. Some guy passed away and left us $150,000. Anyway, okay. Damien Gashiki Lende Tsiwa Sogle Damboe Chosusungde. Unfortunately, there are people in the world who consider the teachings on morality to be Dharma simpleton stuff. Okay? If you have a bunch of students who can't understand emptiness or they don't, they're never going to get through the 9 levels of meditation, then teach them not to hurt other people. Stick to that kind of stupid stuff. There are people who, you know, believe that the teachings on treating others with care are naive and, what do you call them? Therefore green tenderfeet, therefore greenhorns, therefore beginners. They're not for advanced tantrikas. Okay? And then they go to their students and they say, look, I have a secret high tantric instruction to give you. What? Nende mepa. There is no need to be ethical. You're beyond that. You're in the realm of the is. You know? You are operating in sheer emptiness. So why do you have to obey all those ethical rules? You're beyond them. Okay? They like take the student aside and say, you're really special. And I hereby release you from karma and effect. You know? Okay. You're above all that. Okay? You are no different from a charvaka. Okay, what's a charvaka? Charvaka was a school in ancient India. Of all the schools of ancient India, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, Jew, there were lots of Jews on the southwest coast, the Malabar coast. There are still Torahs carved on brass that exist in those places. You know, St. Thomas made it to northwestern India, Taxila. Somebody, I was talking to Caroline, right? Caroline? We were talking, she went to Taxila recently. So anyway, there were all those great holy religions in India, but there was a sect called the Charvaka, okay? They said, there's no need for morality. There's no karma, and there's no consequences of karma. You could do whatever you want, and it's not going to have any effect on you. And they also denied future lives. They said, you know, the way you act towards others has no effect on what happens to you after you die. So they were considered the, I don't know, the stupidest of all sects to ever appear in the 5,000 years since the Vedas, you know? They were considered the dumb heads of the dumb heads. So then Favongramache is saying, these big tantrikas who get up and tell their students, you know, you are beyond morality. They are worse than the Chum. They are worse than them. They are Tibetan, high Tibetan lamas, and they're worse than the dumb heads of history. Okay? Mashupa Yinsun. Okay, that's a good place to stop. Because next is Nipa Chuki Dagme Ten La Bepa La Yi. We have completed the proof that Nick is not Nick. You are finally freed. Okay? Okay. Yay, he did a good job. But that also applies to Laura is not Laura. And Miriam is not Miriam. And Amy is not, okay? Ami is not Ami. You have to understand that we're talking about yourself. Okay. We were just picking on Nick because he was sitting right there. So we finished proving that you are not yourself. Okay? And now we have to go on to prove that stuff is not stuff. Okay? We did it with you. And now we got to talk about the rest of stuff in the world. Okay? So we're going to go carefully through the rest of stuff in the world and check whether it is what it seems to be. And then we're finished. Okay? People and stuff. And then we pretty much covered everything. Okay? All right. It is extremely good karma and is extremely rare to have a group of people who would even want to hear this or would listen with such attention and, I think, intention to carry it out. Attention and intention. So thank you for that. And you're amazing. It's a rare karma, extremely rare karma. And I haven't taught this in my whole life. It has happened. It has come together. And you are worthy of it. And it's nice. And I feel really happy, extremely happy. Like, extremely happy. Okay. All right. Here we go. Ellen, you got one? Okay, here we go.
Good.